This is Kim Logue, and you are listening to Conversations Worth Having, Perspectives on Aging. Welcome to the Conversing About Death episode. In today's edition, we are in discussion with an active RN and contemplative end-of-life coach. Community care is very bumpy. In a system with resources already stretched, not to mention the impending demographics of the gray wave or silver tsunami.
This is Marion Wilms, and you are listening to Conversations Worth Having.
Thank you so much for being here. I wanted to get you to speak to a role I have heard that you take on. I think I read it on your website that you're a death doula.
That's correct.
What does that mean?
So I'm a registered nurse, and I work locally for primary care. And I also support individuals dying where they want to die and how they want to die. My journey, so I work as a registered nurse during the day, but my journey started with my mother dying in 2012. And after that, I attended a course with the Institute for Traditional Medicine in Toronto, and it is contemplative end-of-life care. And I am one of probably two or three registered nurses who have gone through the course. And the course basically challenges our assumptions around where we would like to die, who we will want with us, what values we have, and what it's very similar to a birth doula in supporting an individual having a birth. So it's compared to that. And my role is to have those conversations with individuals and then to support them in where they want to die. Part of that for me as a registered nurse is system navigation, which is the last client I had, which was very important because I know the systems that happen to be here to offer individuals health care.
Boy, I don't even know how to dig in and unpack that. So we will have in this series the legalities and the technicalities covered in terms of who has authority.
Yes, in Ontario. Yep.
In Ontario for but are you mostly dealing with clients who are making their own decisions?
Yes. Well, the last client I had, she became quite demented, but I had the conversation with her 2.5 years ago, and she was very clear that she wanted to die in her home.
Okay.
And because she wanted to die in her home, she had to talk to her daughter, and I also had significant conversations with her daughter about that. And we made it work. Her daughter was huge in supporting her in dying in her home, both daughters. And she, at that point, was living in her home and just incredible support from both the daughters. And she had her pets around her, and it was lovely. It was very lovely.
Was she living at home and
That's
then
correct.
Died at home?
That's okay. correct. Yeah. 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 So, but the client I had back in August was admitted to hospital, deemed palliative, and then I helped navigate her back home. And so she did die in her home. So that's really my role. And I hope that it doesn't happen that way, but I hope that I have lots of conversations to find out what they're comfortable with, what pain means to them, what symptom management means to them, and how what's important to them as they die.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the conversation.
I heard an interesting interview on Metro Morning on CBC recently where they had the head of geriatrics at Mount Sinai on, and he was saying that 15% of the hospital beds there are taken up by people that just can't go home.
That's right.
And he was talking about how
They're increasing the budget for home care.
Right.
You know, because it costs $60 a day was the statistic I sort of memorized from that interview to support someone at home versus $1,600 a day for that hospital bed.
Right. So this is part of the challenging situation with healthcare here in Ontario. The Local Health Integrated Network is the body that provides the funding locally. And the Waterloo Wellington Lynn is the brain behind where funds happen. At this point, from my experience, community care is very bumpy. A lot of times I find that I'm having to tell families to pay for private care in order to support them in their homes. And that's just the reality.
Okay.
CCAC, Community Care Access Center, is the local, it's across the province, and the local Community Care Access Center is the clearinghouse or the door opener for anybody who wants to have care in their home. As I said, the other two places are hospital or hospice, and the hospice here in Guelph only has 10 beds. And so the pressure on those beds are incredible. And so therefore, people do die in hospital. The other thing I hear often is that people feel ill-equipped to support their family member, friend, loved one in their home. But that most people want to die in their home.
I recorded a statistic from an article that 70% of people want to die at home and 70% actually die in hospital.
That's correct.
Right?
That's right.
So it's
right.
Huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So that my role within this death doula or death coach, death support, is to really make that happen. I am open to supporting an individual dying in the hospital, but that, again, the goals of the hospital care, and I worked in hospital for a long time, is different. It's a different goal, and there's different care. And the other thing is that
the goal at the hospital is to keep the person alive,
correct,
as long as possible.
So the hospital is an acute care environment. It is treatment oriented. It is not thinking about symptom management unless you're lucky to get into a hospice or a palliative care bed. Again, there is pressure on those beds.
Right.
So it ends up that they end up in acute care. So, yeah. And with my clients in primary care, I have the conversation early about how they want to die, where they want to die, and what's important to them. And that's just part of my clinical responsibility as a nurse.
Yeah.
So I see it very doable, it's very lovely to see how comforting it is for an individual to be at home with their own bed, their own surroundings, their own animals.
Absolutely. The smell of your own home, the
yes.
sounds in your own home versus the hospital setting. I just think it would be so comforting
yes.
to be at home.
Yes, that's right. The other thing that I am able to do is, as a registered nurse, although the contemplative end of life course does train individuals to watch the stages of death, symptom management. So I personally can and suggest medication, but I also can suggest other things to support the individual in keeping them comfortable. And it's a matter of back to knowing what that individual wants to do.
So as a systems navigator, like, I don't get it. What if I have a loved one who's in the hospital being saved at all costs and they don't want to be there? Can I just take them home?
Yes. So that's an individual conversation you have to have with the doctor or the hospitalist who is there. And that hospitalist will... the difficulty is making it happen. It's a very busy... I worked for years and years in acute care, so I totally understand. Getting that to happen gets to be a juggle. The other issue is that you have to find a physician who will take care of that client at home. And a lot. So how it works is if you have palliative care at home, CCAC steps in and they have a palliative care program, and then a nurse comes in regularly and a physician takes responsibility. Those conversations are ongoing with the local physicians that are here. And so that's sometimes a barrier. A nurse practitioner or a physician who will take responsibility for that client in the home is the door key, the key to unlock mm-hmm. the door, and then the services follow. It's a combination. So then CCAC palliative care provides nursing, PSW, depending on what the situation is and depending on what the assessment is. And there's a score to say how sick they are and how much care they need in the home.
Right.
So that's part of the system navigation that is so very important, but also it's creativity. So I have a friend who who's not sick. I've done this 3 or 4 times with friends who want to die at home. And so I've made a plan. And this particular friend has lots of friends. So they're going to be part of the care for her as she dies. And that's very lovely, very lovely. So, and then the other piece is that, and I know Christine, my colleague, talked about this, is once an individual dies, I will support them in having a home funeral, having a wake at home. And then I have connected with a local funeral director who will support them in either direct disposition to cremation or burial, depending on what that is. If they want a funeral home to be involved, that's great. But I would be that supporter of that to happen.
I think a lot about this system and like the hospitals and the 10 beds. I had no idea there was only 10.
Yeah.
And this demographic we've got coming, right?
Yes,
like people
correct.
Call it the silver tsunami or the gray wave because we have all of a sudden this aging population.
Yeah.
And already the resources are stretched.
Yes, correct. That's right. That's right.
And you're seeing that in your work.
Yes. So in my day job, I support individuals living in their homes, geriatrics, and we're getting swamped. That's the bottom line. We are getting swamped because more individuals are either not interested in living in institutions such as long-term care. Plus, the bed capacity is very little. And those kinds of beds are for individuals who are have chronic conditions where they can't take care of themselves. It's called the activities of daily living, and those individuals need more support. There are individuals who I see in my day job that are living at risk, and that is meaning that they have frequent falls, they are not eating well, but they choose to be in their homes. And so my role in my day job is to support them as best I can. And that's the same. My passion always is to respect and support the individual in where they want to be as best they can, unless there is situations where they really are unsafe in being in their homes. And that Cognitive changes contribute to that. Mobility changes, chronic healthcare conditions such as COPD or CHF.
I don't know what either of those are.
Congestive heart failure and congestive obstructive pulmonary disease is the lungs. So anything to do with your lungs, if you're having trouble breathing or if you're on oxygen, that impacts your ability to get up and make a meal, have a shower, all of those things. So I as much as I am able, I support individuals staying in their homes. But it is really tough. It's really tough because people have been, typically they've been living in their homes for the same home for 20, 30 years. And it's a wrench to move them. And and it's a grief. And this is the other part of this is my role as a death doula or a death coach is around supporting those individuals in the sadness and the grief and the loss that's happening during this time. It's not just after they die. It's all the people that will miss them and they will miss. Yeah. And that's so important
to see it coming and to have to plan for it and prepare for it is so challenging, I think.
Yes. So one of the things it's a huge passion of mine. And every time I speak, I talk about having those conversations early, because the statistics say that the more you have the conversations and the earlier you have those conversations, you will die where and how you want to die. If you don't have those conversations, then it's always an emergency. It's always last minute. It's scramble, ending up in hospital in acute care.
Or somebody else is stuck making a decision where they don't know what any of your preferences or your wishes are.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct. It's a huge, huge, I often have family members who say to me, well, I don't know.
Right.
And, they're standing in the hallway. When I was a hospital nurse, I would often have this conversation in the hallway. So what would your mom want? Well, we never talked about it. And it happens again and again. And it's lovely because Christine and I do death cafes and I'm speaking a lot locally. And it's wonderful because people are starting to have those conversations, especially the younger generations. It's just lovely that they're doing that. And as I empower my clients' families, they also are having the conversations, which they never thought about before.
Right.
And so it's great. It's really great.
I wanted to get to, like, what advice do you have for us listening? About having those conversations, but it's to have them.
Yes,
and
correct.
To have them early.
Yeah.
And maybe frequently. So it's
yes,
not
correct.
This big fraught topic that you broach one time. It can just be a dialogue.
Yes. So the, and I know you're getting another speaker about this, advanced care planning, the law or the directives in Ontario are around conversations, not set straight exact law.
Yep.
It's very different around conversations and having those regularly, because an individual who is in their end of life or even has chronic disease, their symptom management will change. So they will be able to walk well at one point and then they will be frail. We call it the frailty scale, and they will change. And so the conversations have to change about what kind of support and where it is appropriate and how much the family can do. So I have a number of clients who are in what I call the sandwich generation. So they have parents, they are in the middle, and they have kids. And so it's challenging. And a lot of times families live out of town, and then that becomes another stress.
Yeah.
To support a parent. And it it's difficult. It really is difficult. My mother lived in Ottawa, and my family is summer in Ottawa. But again, I was here. She was there. It is a challenge.
Do you find that people change their mind?
Yes. Yes.
And so they change their wishes?
Yes, correct. So that's around the conversation.
And staying up to date.
Yes, correct. That is because their health conditions change.
I used to work for a woman on a farm who used to say, like, if I can't walk, take me in the backfield and just shoot me. You know, and I used to think, yeah, well, that's what you say now.
Yeah.
But wait till you need a cane or a wheelchair, and I bet you're going to have a different opinion.
Right. Yes, correct.
So you do see that.
That's right. Yeah.
It's exactly. Not a one-time
yes,
deal.
Correct. That's right. That's yeah. right. It's, yeah. And I mean, again, it's grief. I have a client who's now using a walker. Well, and she was determined she'd never use a walker. Well,
right. And you hear about the people that say, never put me in a home.
Yes, correct.
You know, and
I
then
hear that often.
And then there's a huge struggle where they are put in a home. And then 2 months, 3 months, 6 months later, they say they love it.
Yes, correct. Yep. And that's the other thing that's happening is that retirement homes, there are now, oh my goodness, there are probably 4 or 6 in Guelph. I can't remember how many there are, but they support individuals who need help with medication reminders, meals. They're obviously everything is wheelchair accessible. So it's great for certain individuals and who have become, because they can't get out, who have become very isolated and homebound. And that is huge with somebody who's been very social. So,
right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, these were tough topics to tackle. Not easy, but important. And they get easier with practice.
Yes.
So thank you so very much for your time. So,
you're welcome. Can I just give you my email address?
Absolutely.
So my email address is mwilms, M-W-I-L-L-M, as in Mary, S as in Sam, 2008@gmail.com. The other thing I was going to mention, if this goes on air, is that we're having a natural death expo next Saturday in Mississauga. I'm speaking with another death doula. There will be, we're talking about green burial, palliation at home. I always say it's the who's who of the who's who coming to Natural Death Expo. And you can email me for more. It's naturaldeathexpo.com.
Okay.
If you Google Southern Ontario Natural Death Expo, you'll find it.
And your website again is?
Departure Nurse.
Awesome. Conversations worth having.
Great. Thank you.
Victims of psychos, victims of life, victims are wrong, victims are right, victims of anything and all the above, victims of hate, victims of love, victims of hate, victims of love. If you're rich, you hunger for money. If you're broke, hunger for bread. If you're wild, you're bound to die young, friend. If you live in fear, you're already dead. Victims of psychos, victims of life, victims are wrong, victims are right, victims of winning, victims of loss, victims of payment, victims of cause. You got your victims of violence, victims of peace. You are all victims, exactly like me. Victims of anything and all the above. Victims of hate, victims of love.
How old were you when you first realized you would die? How do you want to die? Can you imagine being subjected to aggressive, life-prolonging medical interventions that you do not want? Or are you worried they might pull the plug too early? That was Victims of Life by the Avett Brothers. Thanks for listening to our Conversing About Death program. Is it a little bit easier to start discussions about how or where you want to die with the others in your life? These chats should happen earlier and more often about their ever-changing wishes too. Thanks for listening to Conversations Worth Having, a radio show series intended to provoke thinking, conversation, and planning, and to make space for communication about wishes for healthcare and treatment at the end of life. In the show, we will explore ways that the system seems in crisis. We'll hear personal accounts, and we'll also speak to experts in the field.